Just caught an advertisement the other day from Dairy Queen. And their message for that day is, "We are not a business, but we are family." Wow. That's a pretty strong logo when you look at it, because what it's saying is that, you know, when you want a treat, when you want something special, you're going to go to where there's family. So go to Dairy Queen. It's a pretty good logo. Maybe that's something that the church also should develop in a way that says, hey, we are family. Much like the song that Sister Sledge did back in the late 70s, "We Are Family." Remember that? Yeah. Actually, and I don't mean to rub it into you Detroit Tigers fans, but that was the theme song for the 1979 Pirates when they won the World Series. We are family. And that's what we are all about as people of God, as children of the one who has been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We are family. Even from the very beginning, when family at times would be at odds with each other, we find that ultimately, and even though we don't get this in our Old Testament passage for today out of Genesis, after God discovers that Adam and Eve have opened their eyes because they ate of the tree of knowledge, which they shouldn't have done. They were told not to, and yet because they felt that they wanted to know more, they went ahead and did that. It all started then. "How did you know these things that you are naked? Who ate of the tree?" And Adam says, "She did it." And then Eve said, "But it wasn't me, it was the serpent who did it." And they pass the blame down to each one. And as a result of that, there are certain consequences to their actions. But even though we hear how women will have hardship at childbirth, and when we hear human beings will struggle in their work, the part that we're not seeing there is that even though God sent them out of the Garden of Eden, He clothed them and He took care of them. That's family. That's family. Family is where we see in Corinthians and Paul encouraging them that they should not give up hope, because what has been spoken to them down through the ages, that they too share the same understanding, the same common heritage as their Jewish brothers and sisters, but now it is all verified through Jesus Christ. And even though we as family, and my goodness, the Corinthians had their difficulties. They did not get always along with each other. They did not always do as they were asked to do. And Paul would write to them and try to get them back together. And it seems that in the midst of their struggles, they must have been feeling like perhaps maybe God had abandoned them. And Paul is saying, do not lose hope, because the things that you cannot see are what we are to hope for. That understanding that God's love is always constant, is ever present. And how many of us, though, can look out and we can see how perhaps sometimes that love does not seem to be very evident, particularly when we're struck down with an illness or we lose a job. Or when we look out and see the rest of the world where there are individuals who struggle just for things that are necessities of life. Water, shelter, or maybe just even love. So is that God's responsibility that they are not being taken care of? Or does it come back to us as a Christian community? Does it come back to us that we are able to look out to the community and say, as Jesus did, these are my brothers and sisters and mothers? And when he says that, he is pointing to all who have gathered around. And it is not meant to be a way in which he divests himself from his relationship with his family. He is not meaning to be disrespectful to them, but he is bringing us to the understanding that it is not just our immediate family, it is not just our blood relatives, it is everyone who is a part of us. We go back to, again, that time of Adam and Eve, and then Cain and Abel, and after Cain did what he did to Abel, and God saying to him, where is Abel? And he says, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. Just as you and I are all called to be our brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers' keepers as well. And we forget that very quickly. How difficult it must have been for Jesus to hear how those around him began to say about the fact that, you know, he's a little bit mixed up in the head. And that's exactly what was going on. There were those who felt that this ordinary carpenter is not acting the way a carpenter should. So therefore, something has to be going on with him. He's got an evil spirit in him. And so they began to accuse him of being possessed by Satan. And Jesus goes on to explain how can, you know, Satan cast out Satan. And he uses a very practical understanding that a house divided among itself cannot stand. And we have witnessed that down through the histories of how peoples have been divided among themselves, that ultimately the house comes crashing in because we are not able to come to an agreement or to an understanding that even when we disagree, that we still love and respect one another and that we still are able to live under one roof as one. I think that's one of the greatest crises of all for us. One of the hardest tasks for us to do is that we are not able to really pick out the people who we are to love. Because we are commanded to love. Love your God with all your heart and soul and mind. And the second one is like that. Love your neighbor as yourself. We are family. We are family. And so when we see things that go on in this world that indicate how we can treat each other in certain ways, we need to pull ourselves back and to realize, even though there are those who come from different faiths, different backgrounds, different cultures, that they too are part of our family. That when we raise up arms against those, just because we don't understand who they are, this is what we are doing to our family. It'd be like saying to someone, you know, I love the Pirates, but because you like the Tigers, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I wouldn't have much to do here as a pastor at St. Luke's. But thankfully, you know, sports, even though it can be competitive and it can, you know, you can have some really diehard fans out there, as I've had one member at least say, well, maybe we can make you a fan at some point. I'll say, oh, maybe. But you know, it's not all that important. When it comes down to things like that, ultimately, I'm more concerned about who you are. And maybe being a fan of a certain team is part of who you are, but there's much more to that. Luther helped us to understand that more thoroughly when it came to the explanation of the Ten Commandments. You know, the first section of the commandments are focused towards God, and the latter part is to the community. And in each one of those, and Jesus does the same thing. I mean, Luther lifts out what Jesus says about things that, you know, it's not just a matter of following the commandments, but we go beyond that. We go beyond to the idea of basically turning it around and saying, you know, it's not that we shouldn't steal. It's not that we shouldn't covet. But it's that we should take care of our neighbor's property, that we should take care of our neighbor's family, that we should take care of our neighbor. And that's pretty heavy. But that's where I want to challenge you now for this next period of time as we enter this time of after the seasons after Pentecost, after the Spirit has moved the disciples to go out into the community and to begin to proclaim the Word of God, that Jesus Christ loves me, loves you, loves all of us. And how will people see that love unless they see it in us? And the way in which we reflect and respect one another, the way in which we react to each other, because if it becomes one of a hostile nature or one of saying, because you don't agree with me, I will strike out at you, how is that going to win over others to understand what the love of Jesus is? That we have a God who is so loving that he gave himself, his son, to us. Because even then, we couldn't appreciate and understand fully what it was that Jesus was doing. He's possessed. Being family should make it easier for us to be able to talk about Jesus. And I don't know what it is about Lutherans, but we do have struggles with that. I want to take a few moments now that, you know, hopefully you understand this under being one together. But we also should look at ways in which we are able to reach out and to care, to love, through prayer, through support, through all those things that we do together, not only worship, but Bible study, by socializing with each other, and also making sure that we don't just remain in our one little group, but we expand to include all people. Indeed, we are comfortable when we are in our family. We are comfortable when we are in our group. We are comfortable as St. Luke's Lutheran Church. But let's get comfortable with being children of God. And I want to share with you something that was shared at the Synod Assembly. It's a short little video about how not to witness, what not to do. And it's a lot of fun, so I hope you enjoyed it as I did. So if we could play that, please.
I'll be inside in a minute. I'm going to say hey to Joe. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Mike.
Flower beds are looking good, neighbor.
Yep. You guys just get back from church?
Ah, yeah, just been at the church house.
I wonder why he never invites me to church. I mean, I'd go if he asked me to go. But this is the way it is. I'm out in my front yard when he comes home from church. It's always so awkward.
It's so awkward. And I'm so hungry. Ugh. I think my wife made goulash. I love goulash. Oh, maybe Joe would like some goulash for lunch. Hey, Joe.
Here comes the invitation to church.
Yeah? You want to come over for
goulash? Sure, I'd love to go to church with you.
What'd you just say?
What'd you say? You said something about God.
Goo.
Goulash.
It's a...
You're having goulash at your church?
No, at my house.
You're inviting me over for goulash?
Yeah.
Goulash? Yeah, who doesn't like goulash? I like some goulash. Yeah, sign me up. Goulash.
I'll check and make sure we have enough.
I see you walking away.
That was fun. A simple invitation is all that's needed. Trust in the Holy Spirit. That's our challenge today. So that we trust that the Spirit leads us into those encounters wherever it is that we go, even to those places where you may not really want to be. God is in your midst, and God will lead you. Trust, and hear what Jesus says today. You and those that are walking around with their pails, you are my sons and daughters, my brothers and my sisters, my mothers and my fathers. And that's how we are to be with those out there. So let's go in peace. Let's serve God through his love as he's extended to us. Amen.